Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Well, Scott, at least we don't have bad roads. Yesterday was a nice day as the sun started to melt some of the snow. And today we'll see a little bit of snow melt. Hopefully everything is okay. Just make sure that your sidewalks are salted, et cetera, so you don't slip on some of that refreeze overnight. But at least the roads are clear. Last week it was a little rough getting down here, wasn't it, Drew? My goodness. We are thinking about the folks in Los Angeles. And the Rams are practicing against, they're getting ready for the Vikings. And everything seemed pretty normal for them during their practice at their temporary home on a beautiful afternoon in suburban Phoenix. They had the music blaring, they had coaches shouting, they had footballs flying, they had palm trees swaying in the background. But they are thinking about their home of Los Angeles, and so are we. Everybody is thinking about Los Angeles right now and everything that they are going through. It is just devastating. The wildfires in the LA area. Just continue to follow this coverage, and it's tough. It's tough to watch, and our thoughts are with everybody in Los Angeles and the surrounding area. A flare-up on the west side of L.A. prompted new evacuations. That caused Santa Anita to cancel horse racing this weekend. That track is in Arcadia, which is near the smoldering Eaton Fire that decimated Altadena. Altadena is just north of Pasadena, and some areas of Pasadena have been affected as well. I recently was in Pasadena. My mom was actually born in Pasadena. We have some family ties there. We went, my sister and I, and her boyfriend and two of my buddies from college, and we went to see Indiana play UCLA in the Rose Bowl and had such a great time in Pasadena. Pasadena is so cool. It's like, you know, a bunch of hardworking people, some artists, some, you know, hippies living up in the up in the mountains. I mean, it's a great collection of people, you know? I mean, I feel terrible for them. I really do. It's been weighing on me. And I know a lot of you as well with connections to California and everybody out there. So I'm very sorry about everything that's going on there, and we will continue to support them. You can go to Red Cross and make a donation, and certainly every bit helps to help everyone in LA. We have some great friends in Southern California that are suffering right now, losing their homes. A lot of people with St. Louis connections. A lot of people with connections to you, our listeners, I'm sure. Some of whom are listening to us right now. We actually have a good contingent out there on the West Coast that likes to catch up with St. Louis stuff. So our hearts are with you. Also wanted to say thank you to Paul Goldschmidt. Paul Goldschmidt, I'm going to pull it out of my backpack here because I'm still a newspaper guy, Drew. I'm going to hold up to the camera. Let me get my, so I can see what I'm doing. There you go. This is the ad that Paul Goldschmidt took out in the Post-Dispatch today, the Sunday Post-Dispatch. The back page of the sports section is all Goldie, and it says, "Thank you, Cards Nation. Thank you for accepting me as one of your own. Thank you for the cheers. Thank you for sticking with me through ups and downs. Most importantly, thank you for the relationships and memories which will stick with me for a lifetime. It was an honor to wear the Cardinals uniform and do my best to carry on the tradition built by so many before me." And then it's signed Paul Goldschmidt with a nice photo of number 46. Rounding first after another bomb, I'm sure. He actually led the team in home runs this past season. Isn't that something? After all that he went through and such a tough year for him at the plate. He never really found it. Even in spring training and continuing on, Goldie just did not have his swing. Timing was off. He looked lost out there and still led the team in home runs with 22. He was also, you know, a stalwart at first base. I mean, a vacuum over there. If a ball was thrown just a little short, he would pick it. If a ball was a little high, he would leap up and get it and then tap his toe on the base. Of course, he's a leader out there, a smart base runner. Best to you, Goldie, and thank you. Thank you for all that you did to contribute to the team as a leader. People followed him by example, both as a father and a husband and a teammate. He was a great example for all. Good family man, loved being in St. Louis. Now he'll go to the Yankees, and he'll play well there. Now, they have a good nucleus already. He'll be a nice piece for their puzzle. He is in a one-year, $12.5 million deal. That's a good situation for Goldie to play first base in New York. And it just didn't work out here for a variety of reasons. It's not all his fault. He wasn't able to come through. He did have an MVP year in 2022, and I think that was the tough one for Cardinals fans to take because you had the number one MVP in terms of votes received in Goldie. You had number three in Nolan Arenado in terms of NL MVP votes. You had Albert Pujols, who really was their MVP in the second half. He was their best hitter, one of the best hitters in baseball, and passed 700 home runs. You had Yadier Molina, was able to bounce back and play. You had a good pitching staff that needed some help, so John Mozeliak and crew went out, and they got Jordan Montgomery, and they got Jose Quintana. Quintana twirled a beauty in Game 1 against the Phillies. But the Phillies captured Games 1 and 2 and swept the season, boom, right then. Just two games, gone. It's over. And the Cardinals missed their opportunity at Busch Stadium. Goldschmidt and Arenado weren't able to come through at the plate, and Goldschmidt and Arenado leave. Well, Arenado might not leave, but Goldschmidt leaves St. Louis without a postseason win. That's kind of sad. But then again, this is sports, man. It's tough. I mean, the Phillies went on to the World Series. If things change in Game 1 or 2 and you're able to get that thing back to St. Louis for another, you know, another opportunity, who knows? But it's just, that was a tough one to take. And the Cardinals lost. They got swept in two games. Boom, it's over. So the best of three. So it was 2023, we know what happened. 2024, it's 71-91. 2024, they have a winning record, but expectations were high, and they did not come close to achieving what they wanted to do, win the division, go on, be a World Series contender. And so Goldschmidt moves on to the Yankees. But this is a classy thing that he did here, taking out the one-page ad. It's becoming more apparent that Nolan Arenado could remain a Cardinal. I think there are still some options for him. Boston seems to be still a great spot for him. There was a report last week that he would accept a trade to Boston if that did come through. Detroit, perhaps, is another one out there. But, you know, John Mozeliak was on Countdown to Opening Day this week with Matt Pauly and answered his question about the Arenado declaration, I should say, that they intend to trade him. Remember, he said that at the winter meetings to a group of reporters. Well, Mozeliak doesn't necessarily walk that back, but he says at the time he said that because he felt there was a deal in place. And that is no longer. Now, I'm assuming that was the Houston deal that Arenado rejected, but that there was a deal. Now it seems awfully quiet for Arenado's services. What happens from here moving forward? Don't know. If Arenado is a Cardinal, is that the worst thing in the world? No. I mean, he's a middle of the order bat, and he's a very good defensive third baseman, one of the best in the game still. He was a Gold Glove finalist, and he is someone who would have to take on a leadership role, be more vocal, and be more, you know, embrace the youth movement and understand where the Cardinals are going with that. And perhaps he can bet on himself, have a great first half, and if they're not in the race at the deadline, they could deal him and get a pretty good deal. And he may have many more options of teams that, heck, the Dodgers may have an opening at that point at third base. Apparently that's where he wants to be. So there's a lot still out there for the Cardinals and Arenado. He could be traded this week. He could be traded this week if Bregman does not go to Boston. I could see that. If Detroit wants to get active, apparently they're still in the mix for Bregman. If they don't come up with him, perhaps he could go there. But, man, he'd turn down Houston and then go to Detroit. I mean, no offense to my Detroit people, but, I mean, Houston seems like a better fit for him, doesn't it, for offense? I mean, he could just yank a bunch of fly balls into the Crawford boxes and have a good old time down there. But anyway, we'll see where that goes with Arenado. We're going to have John Mozeliak's interview with Matt Pauly on Countdown Opening Day coming up in the noon hour. I believe that's noon to 2. I'm not sure where that interview exactly falls in that noon to 2 window. But Countdown Opening Day will be replayed at that time. Then we'll have the Jack Buck Awards replayed from 2 to 4. That was a fun night at the Missouri Athletic Club. Coming up on the show, we have in reverse order, 11:45, Bernie Miklas. Do not miss Bernie. We will talk about those very subjects, the Cardinals with Bernie, and a couple of football thoughts from him. At 11:30, Jim Powers, who for years did the high school sports caravan on Fox 2 and play-by-play for various outlets around St. Louis. He's received a Missouri State High School's Athletic Association Award that we're going to discuss. But even bigger, he is a big Ohio State fan, so we're going to break down the Buckeyes with him, and he can tell us about the Love and Gray St. Louis connections on the Notre Dame team, which is a 9.5-point underdog against Ohio State on January 20th in the national championship. At 11:15, Mark Mitchell, the wonderful transfer from Duke, who's playing at a very high level for the University of Missouri. He led Mizzou with 18.7 rebounds, and he had a very good game yesterday. We will hear from Mark Mitchell coming up at 11:15. He has a new some news on him, actually, that we're going to break here on KMOX at 11:15 about some work that he's doing in the NIL space. At 11:05, before that, NFL picks. Of course, we've got huge games today. You have Denver at Buffalo. You have Green Bay at Philadelphia. That's going to be a good one. Night game will be Tampa Bay at home against Washington. Also a good one. And so we'll pick those three games for you, and we'll pick the college football playoff. Of course, we do it against the spread for those of you out there having some fun. And in the 10 o'clock hour, 10:45, a Blues breakdown, followed by the press conference that the St. Louis City SC introduced Olaf Melberg, the new coach. At 10:30, Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Billikens. We're about to get into a big college basketball scoreboard as well. It's all coming up, sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
He hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Great to be back with you. The news that happened over the last hour, Mike Vrabel is the new head coach of the New England Patriots. This comes after the Patriots fired Gerard Mayo after the team's season finale victory over the Bills. So here comes Mike Vrabel, a fan favorite, 8 seasons as a player in New England. He was a member of its first 3 Super Bowl winners, an inductee into the team's Hall of Fame in 2023. He was the preferred candidate, and we'll see what else happens in terms of NFL coaching vacancies. But Mike Vrabel is the new head coach of the Patriots. All right, let's get into some college basketball, and we'll break this down by conference. So yesterday was an incredible day if you're a basketball junkie. There was so much on TV, I couldn't get enough. Starting with Mizzou, they played Vanderbilt in front of a sold-out crowd. I don't think that should be ignored. Mizzou Arena is sold out these days. Back in the day, the Hearns Center was a killer to try to win. That place rocked. Mizzou Arena had its moments where it was very, very difficult to play. We saw it earlier this year, and now we have an opportunity to see it more often. We saw it yesterday with Mizzou beating Vanderbilt by a final of 75-66. They are 13-3 on the year, 2-1 in the SEC. The Commodores are pretty good. I mean, all these SEC teams are good. So Vanderbilt gets votes in both national polls. They're 13-3, 1-1 in the SEC. Mark Mitchell, who will be our guest next hour, led the Tigers with 19 points. He was 6 of 11 from the floor, 7 of 9 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds. Anthony Robinson II chipped in 15 points and a career-best 8 assists to go along with 3 steals. He's really good. Caleb Grill is now healthy. He rounded out the Tigers in double figures with 13 points off the bench. Josh Gray, the big boy, had 11 rebounds. That's a season best for him. And Mizzou led wire to wire. Now, it got close. It was down to 1 point late. Vanderbilt cut the deficit. But it was Tamar Bates with a transition dunk to give them a 3-point lead with 4:50 to go. Vanderbilt cut it back to 2, and then Grill got fouled during a 3-point attempt. That ignited a 7-0 run, and they finished the game 75-66. Missouri, it's going to get tough now. They play at number 8 Florida on Tuesday night. The Gators look awesome. They destroyed Tennessee down in Gainesville, and then yesterday they beat Arkansas in Fayetteville. Elijah Martin, 14 points. Three teammates also scored in double figures as number 8 Florida beat Arkansas 71-63. The number 1 team in the nation is going to be Auburn, but they are dealing with a pretty significant injury here. Johnny Broome has a sprained left ankle. Auburn won over South Carolina 66-63, but Coach Bruce Pearl said Broome has an MRI coming to determine the extent of the injury. We're going to learn more about that. Broome is the best player in the country. 6'10", 240. He is a fifth-year senior, preseason AP All-American, considered a contender for National Player of the Year. Hopefully he's not out long because he's a lot of fun to watch. He was holding his left ankle after going for a rebound in the second half. He couldn't stand without assistance. He needed the help of two trainers to get to the locker room. He came back and rooted on the team from the bench and then stayed with the team on the floor during their celebration and team gathering and prayer. And he's something else, that Johnny Broome. But he has a pretty bad ankle injury, and I hope he's not out long. I like when great players play. Elsewhere in the SEC, Auburn gets the win. They're ranked 2 in the country. They're going to be number 1, but watch out for their longtime rival, Alabama. Alabama has got it going again. Here they are. They go down to College Station and win. Mark Sears, 27 points. Aiden Holloway, 15. Number 5, Alabama beat number 10, Texas A&M, 94-88. This was the first game between top 10 teams in the history of College Station, Texas. Alabama is 14-2. 3-0 in the SEC. Missouri is going to have to play at Florida, and they also have a game coming at home against Ole Miss. Don't sleep on Ole Miss. Malik Dia, 19 points, and number 23, Mississippi, beat LSU 77-65 on Saturday night. They are really good. Kentucky, they are back. Number 6 team in the country, made 16 of 32 from 3. That's insane. Jackson Robinson had 27 points, a season high. Kentucky beat number 14, Mississippi State, 95-90. Also, Georgia, they've been playing well lately. They beat Kentucky lately, and now they beat number 17, Oklahoma, 72-62. Georgia's 14-2, and they aren't ranked. I'm telling you, there'll be at least a dozen SEC teams in the NCAA tournament, maybe 13. But they beat Oklahoma, who was undefeated, and now has lost 3 straight games. Also, it was in the Big Ten, Illinois losing to USC. Now, Illinois did not have Kasperis Yakachonis, who is their leading scorer. He has a forearm injury, and he's missed 2 straight games after getting hurt against Washington on January 5th. Illinois loses, though, to Southern Cal, not a bad team. A team that's coached by a pretty good one in Eric Musselman. Desmond Claude scored a season-high 31 and led Southern Cal to an 82-72 win over number 13, Illinois. Disappointing nonetheless. Also in the Big Ten yesterday, boy, my Indiana Hoosiers got absolutely throttled by Iowa. They looked like they didn't know each other before they took the floor, like they had just met. They got just killed yesterday by the Hawkeyes, 85-60. Let's take a look at the Missouri Valley Conference. Northern Iowa beat Illinois State on a buzzer beater, 85-84, a buzzer beater by Titan Anderson. And Trey Campbell had 30 points in that win for Northern Iowa over Illinois State, 85-84. Southern Illinois wins in overtime over Missouri State, 88-78. Jarrett Hensley led the way with 30 for the Salukis. Also, in the Ohio Valley Conference, SIUE beat Tennessee Tech 67-59. Moorhead State over Southeast Missouri State 67-56. Lindenwood topped Tennessee Martin 82-81. We'll take a break. When we come back, there's a team I left out. They didn't play yesterday, but they will be playing some big games coming this week, and they're good. They're all alone atop the Atlantic 10, the first place St. Louis Billikens. Their head coach, Josh Schertz, joins us next. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Top of the key, waiting, 10 on the shot clock. Oh, he beat his man, fumbled it, got it back high off the window. Yes! Whistle foul! Count the basket. Robbie fumbled the ball.
Yes.
It should have been a turnover, but somehow he willed it up to the glass, and it went in.
Incredible shot that time. He was trying to go high off the glass, but it caught the back of the rim. And Josh told you during the post game, Robbie likes the big moment, and Billikens up against it. Called his own number and a chance for an AM one.
Yes, he does, and yes, he did. Josh Schertz did say that and joins us live now on KMOX. This Billiken Report, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. Billikens won that game against St. Bonaventure. Here we go. SLU is 3-0 atop the A-10. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Doing well. When you hear that highlight right there, Robbie Avila, look, good players, good things happen to them when they continue to grind and push forward, and that's exactly what Robbie's done. When I think of his entire body of work here in 2024-25, I think about overcoming two sprained ankles, and he's playing at a very high level.
Yeah, he really is. He looks like himself here the last week or two, three, whatever it's been. It's certainly we've talked a lot about return to play, return to perform, and they're not being necessarily the same thing. Somebody might be able to play, but it's going to take them, depending how long they're out and where they are inside of the system and their understanding of what they're doing, to return to performance. Robbie's he missed 7 weeks between the two ankle sprains, another 10 days with the back. So looking at a guy that really from early September to when he got back on the court November 25th, had missed, 8-plus weeks of practice and games. And his understanding of the system is at the highest level. But there's still the areas of rust, of conditioning, of, playing with your teammates. And he's such a vital part of what we do. It was him adjusting to them and them also, reacclimating back to him. But he's a guy that, we've talked about a lot, that the moment's never too big. He's at his best, when the stakes are at their highest, whether that's in an individual game or playing in a high-leverage, high-stake game. He seems to find his best level, and that's a hallmark of all, really special players.
He had a career-high 3 blocks. I actually was surprised by that. I thought maybe he would have had a trio of blocks somewhere along the line, but he got that. He had those 9 rebounds. He tied Kobe Johnson for team-high honors with 5 assists. He was all over the place. He had 14 rebounds, and the Billikens won the game. How would you describe it? I would say toughness. If I had one word, I would say toughness. That's how SLU won the game against a good St. Bonaventure team.
Absolutely. To win high-level games, there's a level of competitiveness and physicality required to be able to compete and win high-level competitive games like that against the St. Bonaventure team that is, super physical. Is really, we talked about going in the game, they really have an identity. They've done a great job with a lot of new pieces. Obviously, Coach Schmidt's been there a long time. He's a legendary coach in this league, and what he's done at St. Bonaventure is incredible. And he's been able to get those guys, whether that's because the culture is established or whatever. They came into that game, I thought, with an identity of who they were, how they play on both ends. And we're starting to forge an identity as a team. I think that's been, every team has a way, they want to play offensively, defensively, and it requires a lot of buy-in, a lot of commitment, those type of things. That game right there, every game is a challenge in this league. Every game is a chance to really, get better and learn about yourself. And, that game really stress test us in our physical competitiveness. And I thought we did a good job responding to it.
How have you responded? Do you think this would be an interesting question? How has your group responded to all of the accolades coming their way? Because, I led the show off. I said, here they are. They're the first place team in the Atlantic 10. They're at the top of the heap right now at 3-0. We know, of course, the road continues to get tough and tougher. How do you deal with success? We know how you deal. We've talked to you before about how you deal with some of the hits you've taken.
Yeah, I think you got to approach, that's probably the beauty of having very much a day-to-day mindset. We talk internally in the program, about, outside noise, outside expectations versus internal standards, right? And, what we want to really focus on in our you know, inside the program, inside the locker room is, you know, how do we grow and learn from each and every experience? How do we apply it moving forward so we can be better? And how do we come to work every single day trying to get better? And the reason that we've made improvement from, you know, a month ago to where we are now is because we've kept our head down. We've worked incredibly hard, prepared really well in practice. And then we've been super present inside the competition, really trying to, you know, attack the possession in front of us, not really playing the previous possession or two possessions ahead. Obviously, there's been a buy-in level, a commitment level to all the invisible plays that drive winning that's kind of correlated with that. But, you know, that's the key. And for us, you know, the reality of our situation is if we're the best team in the A-10, I'm not saying we are, but if we were, the only way to, you know, everybody's chasing us. The only way to remain there is to put our heads down, get to work, and continue to get better because everybody's chasing us to catch us. And if we're not the best team in the A-10, then the only way to catch the teams ahead of us is the same deal. Put our heads down, prepare as well as we possibly can, try to get better every single day, every single time we take the court, be unbelievably present inside the competition, and understand whether it's, you know, every game, like we talked about, it's an incredible challenge, it's a test. And you got to pass these tests together. So understanding like the challenge of St. Bonaventure, you know, was unique compared to St. Joe's, and this test at VCU against a great team in a hostile arena, that's a different type of test. And we got, and then Richmond will present a different type of test. We got to pass these tests together. But the goal is just put your head down, go to work, get better every single day, grow and learn through each experience you have competitively, and then see where you end up at the end. Let everybody else, you know, the noise is good. If we were 0-3, it'd be a different type of noise. 3-0 is this noise. But at the end of the day, you know, those things are incredibly fluid. We just got to focus on the things we can control.
This is the head coach of the Billikens, Josh Schertz, with us on KMOX. This VCU team, for people who aren't familiar, and I know the dedicated SLU fans have been watching them like crazy, but they played St. Bonaventure tough. They ended up losing by 2 on New Year's Eve. Then they went to Loyola and won, and they won at home against Fordham. So they'll play on Tuesday at home against you on 6 o'clock. You already talked about their tough home environment. Do they still, by your estimation, play the same defensive pressure style that they're known for?
Yeah, they do. You know, they're I think, you know, they were the preseason pick to win the league, and I think, you know, look, they missed a 3 at the buzzer. That's if it's a half an inch shorter. They're 3-0 in the league, and obviously everybody knows how hard it is to win at St. Bonaventure. You know, they're still as good a team as we've played all year. I would say this will be the stiffest test when you talk about, you know, playing on the road in that environment against that team. You know, we went in and stress test ourselves a little bit early in the non-conference with going to San Francisco, going to Grand Canyon, which is a good environment. But this will be the best team in the hardest environment to date for our group. So I know, you know, it's going to be an incredible challenge, but it's a great opportunity for us too. It's an opportunity for us to kind of, you know, we talked about the physicality piece that we had to deal with against St. Bonaventure. And this is a chance to go into a hostile environment against a great team and see if our execution, how together we are, how tight our circle is. You know, the home is awesome because you're playing in front of your fans. And I got to, you know, I want to make sure to, you know, commend our fans. Without the students there, St. Joe's and St. Bonaventure, our fans were loud. We needed them to be. They did an unbelievable job of creating an environment and kind of putting the wind at our back in both those games. But the road's awesome in a different way because it's just you. And you see how tight you are, how together you are when everybody's, you know, trying to get at you. And it's just you against the team and the crowd. And so it's going to be a great challenge, great opportunity for us to grow as a team Tuesday night.
Well, there's nothing better than silencing a crowd with a big shot and a big play. But also defensively, how do you look there? And in particular, how has the addition of Kellen Thames just starting to work his way back? And how is he doing? 14 minutes he played, 5 rebounds and 7 points against St. Bonaventure.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, our I think our defense in general has made a big jump. And you know, and defense is, you know, we talk a lot, you know, Tom, about, you know, invisible plays. And what I mean by that is you know, plays that, you know, don't get box score credit. Media fans aren't, you know, they're not clamoring for, you know, your ball pressure was unbelievable, or the way you, you know, canceled those ball screens was fantastic, or, man, the way you got back in defensive transition and loaded to the ball, or your, you know, gaps and explode in and, you know, and protect in, explode out and contested that 3 was fantastic. Like, those things, there's a lot of subtle nuance that you don't get any credit for that you only do – on that end of the floor if you're really committed to winning and you're committed to team success. And we got a lot of guys now that I think are playing in that way. And so our defense has taken a massive jump because I think our commitment to the invisible plays that drive winning has taken a massive jump. It's not just one guy. I think we've seen across the board. You mentioned Robbie's three blocks, Gibson, Kobe, Kalu, Swope, you know, what he's on both ends. And then, of course, you know, Kellen. We've said many times, you know, he's brings a level of energy, a level of athleticism that, you know, we just don't have on this team. And when he comes in, he sparks us. And whether it's for, you know, 14 minutes or 8 minutes or 10 minutes, it's great to see him back playing and a smile on his face. And as hard as he played, I got a little emotional when he, the second half where, you know, he caught that alley-oop and they kind of reverse dunked it and the crowd went crazy. And he was, you know, you just know what he's, you know, what he's going through, what he's fighting, and his ability to, you know, have a smile on his face every day and be positive and be so, you know, just so engaged in the team. I mean, he's an ultimate winner. He's a guy that, you know, he loves his teammates. He's an unbelievable teammate, but he cares about winning over anything else. And, you know, whatever we get from him, you know, whether that's 14 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, if there's opportunities to play longer than that, we just look at it as a bonus. But right now, you know, his situation is pretty stable relative to, you know, what we think he can do, which is, you know, he can play in some short bursts and he's going to play till, you know, he can't play anymore. And when he went out with whatever it was, you know, 8 minutes to go, he was done for that night. And we're going to try to manage that as best we can. But, you know, that's kind of where it is. It hasn't changed. The situation's not any worse, not any better. It just kind of is what it is at the moment.
We'll continue to monitor and get information from you, and we appreciate it. And the more you tell those Billiken fans that they're doing a good job, the more they're going to bring it. I can promise you that. And the student section will be bouncing around on January 22nd. But that is a two-week gap between home games, and you'll have at VCU on Tuesday, at Richmond on Saturday afternoon. Of course, we'll carry those games on KMOX. And we love having you on Sports on a Sunday morning. Always great getting up on these Sundays and talking basketball with you, Coach.
No, I appreciate it. It's always awesome connecting with you, talking with you. It's always fun. And, again, thanks to the fans. And we look forward to seeing everybody on the 22nd. We're going to go try to handle our business. Got a long trip here to Richmond. We leave tomorrow and staying out there till Saturday night. So we'll be gone for a while, but we can't wait to get back in front of the home folks against LaSalle on that Wednesday night.
That makes sense. Stay out there. Ask Rebecca Tillett. She knows all about Virginia. She can give you some tips on
where to go eat. I'm going to pick her brain on places to go.
She knows what's
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks
she
a lot.
Does.
Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Tom. Appreciate it.
There is the head coach of the Billikens, Josh Schertz, with us. Billiken Report, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. When we come back, we'll hear what the Blues did yesterday. We'll get a Blues breakdown. We'll also hear from Olaf Melberg, who spoke to the media after being officially named head coach of St. Louis City SC.
Again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Tom Ackerman with you. It is great to be along with you with our producer, Drew Young. We have plenty to get to, including some football coming up next hour. We are going to break down the NFL picks. Then we're going to have, and thanks to Josh Schertz for joining us in the last segment, we're going to have Mark Mitchell, the star of the Missouri Tigers right now. He had 19 points yesterday in their victory over Vanderbilt. He is the Duke transfer. By the way, did you see Duke's Cooper Flagg? Holy smokes, is that guy a player? Wow, he had 42 points in a win over Notre Dame, and they needed just about all of them because Notre Dame fought him pretty hard. But Cooper is some talent. Wow, my goodness. If Johnny Broome is out for a while, Cooper could end up being the favorite for National Player of the Year, but they are both really good. The Blues, they're a 500 team. I mean, they are what they are. We can sit there and paint pictures of what they may or may not be. But when it comes down to it, they seem to keep bringing themselves back to 500. The Blues lost last night to the Columbus Blue Jackets at Enterprise Center, a place where they desperately want to be great, consistently great, in front of their big crowds, but they weren't able to do it again. They lose by a final of 2-1, and they are 20-20-4. That's their record. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot in the Western Conference. Let's listen in. This is Jim Montgomery sitting down and addressing the media for a few minutes.
The lack of urgency in our group is what's hurting us, in our consistency. You look at the way we came out against Anaheim, there was a direct purpose to what we were doing. Tonight, there was not. It was a wait and see. And that urgency, us fearing losing, is something that's got to become part of our fiber if we're going to get to the consistent level we want to be at.
How do you guys find that urgency?
Mentally, you have to fear losing. I know it sounds maybe stupid, but if you're afraid of losing, you watch a boxer go into the ring. And if he's loose, he's going to get knocked out. You know, you got to really fear and respect this league, or it'll humble you. We get humbled a lot. It's a mental preparation thing that we just got to be able to come to games. And this is the way we start games. This is the way we start the second. This is the way we finish the second.
Is that trying to show itself in the first period where it's sloppy in the D zone and then turning pucks over there?
I thought it showed itself in a lot of areas, really in the first two periods for me.
Is that the responsibility? Is it the responsibility of the leaders to kind of take charge of that, or is it just the whole group in general?
It's the whole group, and it's led by me. You know, I'm disappointed in myself that I haven't been able to push this group to that level of mental preparation. That's on me.
What kind of buttons do you try to push to get there?
You just keep being honest and talking about it, like I am here with you. You know, we got to grab it. We got to go grab it ourselves. No one can instill preparation, mental attitude. You know, we can all talk about it. You got to come with it your own. When you show up at the rink, if you just start thinking about the game then, it's too late.
They just seem like they were maybe a step quicker. You
know? There's a reason they're 9-2 in their last 11 games. I thought their details were really good. Their puck support was really good. They managed the puck really well. They made real subtle plays in all three zones, support plays. They're playing really well.
Some real urgency out of Jim Montgomery, the head coach of the Blues. That's about as straightforward as we've heard him since he joined the team. And the Blues lose this game by a final of 2-1 to the Blue Jackets. That's a tough one for them to take. They will regroup and take on Calgary next. That is a home game on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. St. Louis City SC, next month, they will be back in business at Energizer Park as they open their 2025 season. And we had a press conference that featured Olaf Melberg. Let's take a quick break, Drew, and when we come back, we'll close out the hour with a little bit of that. We'll just get a little separation here between hockey and soccer. Back in just a moment.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
You are not your diagnosis.
A medical chart is not your identity.
And vision loss does not define you.
Your drive shows who you are.
And you are not alone.
Because we are driven too.
To be a beacon of strength.
A champion of courage.
An advocate for hope.
You are not alone.
Because we are stronger together.
We drive the research for the cures we are finding.
We're fighting macular degeneration,
retinitis pigmentosa,
Usher syndrome,
and the entire spectrum of blinding retinal diseases.
We fund.
We fight.
We win.
We are the foundation fighting blindness.
Together, we are fighting blindness.
Join the fight at fightingblindness.org.
News.
All the headlines that matter to me.
Weather.
If it's going to rain, I want to know.
Traffic.
Well, nobody wants to be late for work.
And who brings you that information every morning?
This is Tom Ackerman.
I'm Megan Lynch.
Hi, I'm Debbie Monterey.
I'm Roger Brand.
It's Total Information AM with everything you need to know.
What's going on in the world?
Weather reports are so important to start the day.
Tell me where the traffic is so I can get to work on time.
Total Information AM. Mornings on KMOX.
Find out what's happening.
And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Let's get to that press conference. This is Diego Giuliani introducing Olaf Melberg.
Head coach Olaf Melberg. Olaf was born in a small town in Sweden. As the son of two PE teachers, he grew up playing all sorts of sports, but surprisingly only started playing football until his early teens. Since then, had an amazing playing career as a center back, played in some of the top competitions in the world, the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, Champions League, and he captained the national team in Sweden in both World Cups and Euros. After that long and successful playing career, Olaf transitioned into management. He comes to us with 5 years of experience as a head coach, primarily in Sweden and primarily at a small but very highly respected team in Stockholm called Brommapojkarna. He spent 4 seasons there, and over that time, he consistently demonstrated an ability to get the best out of his team, improve young players, and deliver results above expectations. That has earned him a strong reputation, and of course, brought multiple job offers. From the beginning, we've been thrilled to see his excitement for the MLS, his growing knowledge of our team and our players, and his steadfast commitment to wanting to be here. So we are thrilled to have him and excited about our future together. Going briefly into the process we followed, you know, Lutz and I have been engaged on this since mid-season. At that point, we stated that we would be handing over the keys to John Hackworth for the rest of the season as interim head coach, which is what we did. And during those months, Lutz and I, together with Carolyn, approved the profile of the coach that we were looking for.
And they landed Olaf Melberg, and here is Lutz.
Which is the key. You know, we made that experience last year. In his previous clubs, I think most important, they always were above his expectations. It's a smaller club, which was based a lot on young players, but also players which are not the biggest names. They're always overachieved. He's very good in developing players.
That's what they want. They want overachievement, and they want development of players. Melberg, in visiting with the media, also had a few things to say. Let's see if we can get to a little bit of that before we have to roll here at the top of the hour.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think Diego and Lutz have mentioned a lot of things here. I had some really good meetings to start with quite a long time ago. I think the process overall was a couple of months, I think, with a lot of meetings. And during that time, I obviously did my the research myself of the club, the city, started to watch a lot of MLS games, not only our team, also opponents. It's an attractive league now, an attractive place to be as a player and as a coach. The league is constantly growing in quality and in interest. Now, really excited to be here.
That is Olaf Melberg, the new head coach of St. Louis City SC, flanked by President Diego Giuliani and Sporting Director Lutz Pfannenstiel, who will resume his 11-15 visits on KMOX coming up later this month. And then a month later, they will open the season, their MLS season, at Energizer Park. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have some NFL picks at the top of the hour. We'll have Mizzou's Mark Mitchell. We'll hear from Jim Powers on Ohio State Notre Dame, and we'll wrap it up with Bernie Miklas. All next hour on KMOX.
Now,
from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. It is great to be along with you. We have Mark Mitchell, who scored 19 points for Mizzou yesterday in a win over Vanderbilt. He will be joining us here momentarily with some exciting news about a new product that is going to be on your shelves with his face and his profile. And I can't wait to tear into this bag. That's a little teaser as to what's to come. First, we have some work to do, and that is NFL picks.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonas.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to our NFL picks. Now, some folks who are watching us on YouTube have told us that they cannot hear when I play audio from this computer. We are aware of that issue, and we have addressed that with our IT department. Our engineers are all over it. That would include, I'm assuming, that open that I just played with Tennessee Titans offensive lineman Tom Ackerman, as well as the entire press conference clips from City, the press conference from Jim Montgomery. So we're sorry for our users who are watching online. That would include X, Facebook, YouTube. A lot of people are starting to consume this via video. I can see there are like 800 people watching right now. So we appreciate that very much. For those of you on radio, you were able to get it. All right, now you're going to get my picks. Let me start, before I do the picks, tell you about something that I've been playing with recently, and I actually do commercials for them on Total Information AM, but I might as well bring it up now since we're talking about, you know, action. And that would be the Underdog app. Underdog app's cool. So I'm tracking right now my four picks starting at noon. Do I have anyone in that first game? I do. I have Josh Allen going higher than 1.5 passing touchdowns. He's going to have two, isn't he? He's going to go over 1.5, isn't he? So I got Josh Allen. This is in my group of four. Saquon Barkley, higher than 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdowns. That's a slam dunk. He's going to score today. Jordan Love, Packers quarterback, higher than 217.5 passing yards. I think he will be able to throw against this Eagles secondary. And then Josh Jacobs, I have him higher than 0.5 rushing plus receiving touchdowns. He's the running back for the Packers. I think I've got this one, but we'll see. I'm also doing a flex on this one, so I don't need all four to happen. I need three to happen, and I can still get money back, actually win a little bit of money if I get three out of four. If I get four, I'm going to be doing very well today. This is really easy to play. It's called the Underdog app. Use promo code Tom, and you're going to be playing along. Even if you're not even a sports fan, it makes sports, I think, more watchable for some people to be able to play Underdog Fantasy along with it. So I'm just, you know, not anything more than just having a little fun. I'd do it if I were you. Underdog. Okay, here are our picks. Noon game today, Broncos at Bills. Interesting because I think the Broncos team has a lot of promise. I think they will be really good in the coming years with Sean Payton. In fact, I think they're about a year ahead of schedule. I thought that Payton would get them back to the playoffs. First time since 2015. Payton is a tremendous coach, and he does very well with quarterbacks. He had Drew Brees for a number of years. Now he has Bo Nix, and he won a Super Bowl with the Saints. And I think he's going to have this Broncos team playing well for the coming years, but not this day. You know, Denver's a good team, not good enough to topple Buffalo. In fact, I do not have them covering the spread either. Spread's 7.5. Hate the half point, but I'm going to do it anyway. Bills minus 7.5. They covered today against the Denver Broncos at home. Nobody's stopping them. Not yet, anyway. Green Bay at Philadelphia. So this is a matchup of two excellent running backs, Saquon Barkley, and on the other side, Josh Jacobs. Barkley ran for over 2,000 yards. Jacobs tough, man. He moves the chains. He's really good. And Barkley kind of paved the way for the running game to be a factor again in the NFL. People love to copy, and they are copying the Eagles in how they manufacture first downs via the run game. The ground game's really good. But the Eagles have a bit of an issue in that their secondary is not great. And I think that Jordan Love can pick them apart if they decide to go through the air. We'll see. On the other side, the Packers have to get in the backfield and get Jalen Hurts hurried. They have to. They're not a great pass rush team. If they do that, I think they'll win the game. I think they will win the game in what will be a high-scoring affair. And I'm going to take the Packers plus +5 at Philadelphia. Packers are good. The knock on them is they can't beat a great team. Today's going to be the day. Packers plus +5. Washington at Tampa Bay. So the Bucs are a 2.5-point favorite at home. That should tell you something. They're at home, man. Come on. This is Tampa. This is football town. Place should be rocking. Ah, the Washington Commanders. They've played good football for most of this year. In fact, they're playing their best football right now. They've won 5 in a row, folks, heading into this game. And my man, Jaden Daniels, out of LSU, is outstanding. Love it. So here we go. I've got the Commanders winning this game outright, and I got them plus +2.5. So I'm taking 2 underdogs today on the road, Green Bay and Washington, and the points. And then for tomorrow night, Minnesota at the Rams. That game is being played in Arizona. I think the Vikings are hurting after losing that game. But as Nick Saban often says, some of your best football, just look at Ohio State. Some of your best football is played after a humbling loss, and they got humbled at Detroit. I think the Vikings turn it around. They will be motivated, and they will win that game tomorrow night to advance to the divisional round of the playoffs. Give me Vikings minus -2 against the Rams. And then in the college football national championship, I've talked about it before, and we're going to go a little more in-depth at 11:30. I am taking Notre Dame plus +9.5, and I hate the 9.5. I'd rather it be 10, but I'll do it anyway. 9.5 for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish to keep that game close against the Buckeyes. Not sure if they'll win it, but they're better than getting blown out. They're better than getting blown out. They're a good team. Good defense, good special teams. We'll keep that game manageable. When we come back, some college basketball. Mark Mitchell, the Missouri Tigers, next. Well, any win in the SEC is a big win these days. It is far and away the best conference in college basketball. I think they could get 12, maybe 13 teams in the NCAA tournament. It is that good. And yesterday, Mizzou outlasted Vanderbilt 75-66. That Vanderbilt team's getting votes in both national polls, and they gave Mizzou all they could handle. But Mark Mitchell helped Missouri pull away for victory yesterday at Mizzou Arena, sold out Mizzou Arena in Columbia, and the Tigers are now 13-3, 2-1 in the SEC. Mitchell led Mizzou with 19 points and 7 rebounds, and he joins us now live on KMOX. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great. I am here with your pal. It is Ken Dubinsky, and he joins us by way of Haystack. This is Haystack Sourcing Solutions President, Ken Dubinsky. Ken, it's great to have you, my longtime friend, in studio.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here. Appreciate it. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing really well.
Well, it's great to have both of you. We have a special announcement before we get into talking some hoops, Mark. Let's get down to business. NIL is part of college athletics today, and the opportunity to be able to pull in some resources for you, for your family, for the health of college athletics. We have seen a lot of players benefit from this. And Ken, we have a very special affiliation now between Mark and yourself and St. Louis consumers.
It's been a lot of fun. A number of people have seen the items we've done at Schnucks with the various Mizzou athletes, start up Luther's Chips and a ton of other items. Schnucks has been a great partner, and they stepped up again for what I am very pleased to announce is Mark Mitchell's Spicy Queso Hoops. They are available starting this week. And, Mark, I know we had some fun this week as you you had a number of your teammates try them, and you just posted a video on all your socials. And it has been a real pleasure working with you on this and really excited to get this out into the market.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys for what you guys have done. You know, the chips turned out better than I could imagine. My teammates actually love them. They come in my room taking bags the last couple of days. Everyone at the facility, you know, they're really good. Really tasty, and I'm just thankful for this opportunity.
I'm going to have a little crunch here, if you don't mind. Oh, they're good. Very good. I'd like to have those with a little cold beverage on the side there while I'm watching some hoops. Mark, really good. So the players took well to it, and you're pretty excited about it, huh?
Yeah, they have. You know, the last couple of days they've been eating them a lot. You know, Ant and Scoob ate like 2-3 bags the last couple of days. Coach Summer's been asking for some more. So, yeah, they're really good. They're better than I could even imagine. Just the product, the design, the taste, everything is just almost perfect.
Spicy queso. Ooh, there is some kick to it. I like it a lot. They're little hoops. So on the back of the bag is you dunking through one of the hoops. I like it.
I'm proclaiming him the first person in the history of food to slam dunk on his own product.
Definitely.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to our designer, Craig Swoboda. Had a great idea to do that on there. Craig's done a great job with all of our products, and just want to give him some props. But really excited with how the product came out, the taste, the package itself is great. And again, it'll be at all Schnucks stores, also at top convenience stores around the city. Look for them on the old Vienna racks all over. And excited to get these going and have Tiger fans have a new snack.
Well, that's awesome. And you worked with you know, a number of people, including, you know, as you mentioned, Luther Burden. You've got his Red Hot Riplets, but those are the Vienna Honey Barbecue Red Hot Riplets that my daughter Audrey absolutely loves. Anytime we see Luther in the store, we grab those.
Good to see.
It's fun, isn't it? I mean, what does it mean to you? I know that everybody seems to have an opinion about NIL, but what does it mean, do you think, when you see the overall picture right now of what's going on with these student athletes?
It really has been a ton of fun for me. I mean, long time, lifelong Missouri fan, as you know, and it's been great being hopefully to help the program in my own little way, and hopefully the players have a lot of fun with it. And I do feel good that this is really the true meaning of NIL, really paying them for their name, image, and likeness. And again, this is kind of a unique way to do it that I think Mizzou has certainly been ahead of the game in a lot of the ventures with name, image, and likeness. And hopefully this is another advantage and lets a guy like Mark get his name out there and let Tiger fans get to know him a little bit better off the field, off the court as well.
Mark, we all know about the Duke brand, and we saw you at Duke. You were a 2-year starter at Duke. You are a McDonald's All-American, and your story is great, but you came to Mizzou. Do you feel like part of that was being able to come home since you're a Kansas City native?
I mean, yeah, definitely. Obviously, being closer to home was definitely a factor in my decision. You know, just being from Kansas City, I know about the Mizzou culture, the fan base, and how much love they just have for their athletic programs. You know, I felt that love, obviously, right when I committed. Just since I've been here, it's been overwhelming. You know, the fans have been great. Just the support that we get each and every game has been really special, and better than I could imagine.
Pretty cool to have your own snack, but also to have a place on this basketball team. I think this team's pretty good. I mean, I went to the Bragging Rights game. I was with you, Ken, watching it. They look like an SEC team. I mean, they have the length. They have the shooting ability. They are strong on the boards. And, Mark, you have all of those things. I'm enamored with your game. I love watching you play. How would you describe your game? When you are at your best, what is Mark Mitchell on the floor?
I think just showing off my versatility, you know, obviously with my size and athleticism and skill. I think I just play a little bit everywhere on the court. You know, Coach Gates asked me to do a lot of different things. And I just kind of plug and play, do what the team needs me to do, and just play all over the court and just impact the game in a lot of different ways.
And you did that yesterday with your, as I mentioned, 19 points and 7 rebounds. You also have a team that it seems to be filled with versatile players. I mean, you have, you know, Gray is obviously the big boy who can get rebounds. Grill, who I don't think gets enough credit for his overall game, but he certainly can shoot from the outside. But you have a number of teammates and some depth, I feel like. How would you describe your team right now?
Yeah, I think we're just a bunch of hard-playing guys. Obviously, the skill level and versatility is something that speaks for itself. You know, having guys with size and skill is something I think Coach Gates wants in his program. You know, obviously him coming from Florida State and having that model player that they had there, I think we have some of the similar things here. I don't think we have any missing pieces. You know, I think we have a little bit of everything, shooters, scorers, facilitators. You know, I think we have seems to be really good. We have a good season so far. I think we're only going to keep getting better.
And I'm right about the SEC being the best conference in the country. I'm sure you would back me up on that. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, every single night you're going to have your hands full, but so are they with you.
Yeah, absolutely, no question. I mean, obviously, I think the numbers speak for itself. The resumes of all the teams in the league have been really good this year. And, you know, there's no easy games. You know, you can't take your foot off the gas for anyone. Anyone can get beat any night. And I think we've seen that so far in the league. So we're just going to keep going, keep preparing, and stay prepared each and every game.
What is Gates like to play for? We hear the stories about him not only being a good game coach, but just to those other 22 hours of the day where we don't see you all. What a father figure he is, and a caring person he is to you as a human.
Yeah, most definitely. I think Coach Gates, obviously, he loves on us hard, on and off the court. I mean, sometimes that's not always him just being your best friend, but him getting on you, him showing you love. You know, he says love is discipline. And I think something that's really real, something that he's shown us. Obviously, he loves us on the court, off the court. Not just talking about basketball all the time, but really just knowing us off the court, being ingrained in our lives and getting to know us as people rather than just basketball players.
And one last thing for me, Mark, in terms of basketball and the atmosphere, I've been to Mizzou Arena, you know, since it was built. I was at Hearn Center when I was a little kid all the way through. I followed it. I've been to Cameron as well. I mean, Cameron's great. I mean, it's the best student section I think I've ever seen in terms of creativity. And of course, they put them right on top of the court. But the sheer volume of a place like Mizzou Arena, when it's full and that place is rocking, that student section is enormous, those steep bleachers. What is that like as a player to feel that? I'm sure that Kansas game would be the top of the line for you so far.
Yeah, it was really special. You know, you could feel just the atmosphere, the energy from the students, you know, and just, you know, most of them kids being here just from being Missouri, Illinois, Kansas type of kids, you know, they have that love and that pure just passion for Mizzou hoops and something they probably felt their whole lives. And I think we can feel that on the court with just their energy and how much they want us to win and just giving us that support and give us an extra boost that really helps us in those times.
And we talk a lot, Ken, about Eli Drinkwitz and what he's done with the football program. And we know that football drives revenue to the university, and the stadium is under renovation. NIL money is coming in. There's a lot of support. But how do you see just overall the growth of basketball right now? Where do you see Dennis Gates, for that matter, athletic director Laird Veach, the NIL collective, all working together to build basketball back to what it once was?
I tell you, I've been a Mizzou fan, obviously lifelong, as I know you, and I don't know that I've ever felt as good about the combination of football and basketball together as I do now. And that goes back a lot of years and a lot of great years in basketball with Norm and everything. But to have both programs in as good a shape with Coach Gates and Coach Drink, I just feel really good. I think basketball in particular, Coach Gates has a tremendous, I mean, the recruiting class he brought in this year, both the freshman class and the transfer class, are both among the best in the country. And he just seems to have great momentum, and seeing him with the kids, like you said, you can tell it's a very special relationship. And the kids that he has are really good kids. And obviously Mark is a shining example of that, great on and off the court. And I just feel great about the momentum he's got going, and look forward to this year and beyond.
It was pretty fun being part of that game against Illinois, even though you lost the game. That was a taste of bragging rights and what that's all about, Mark. That was, I'm sure that as a Kansas City kid, you didn't make a ton of trips over to St. Louis, but you're familiar with St. Louis, and seeing it firsthand like that had to have been a good time.
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, it's a unique atmosphere, you know, being in a neutral site, playing a rivalry game, the stadium being split 50-50. It was just a great experience. Obviously, we lost the game, but I think it was a good game. You know, we fought hard. Obviously, had some mistakes there down the stretch, but I think it was just a great atmosphere, great environment. It's something that you come to Mizzou for, and I'm glad we just keep that going throughout the years and for the years to come.
Well, there's a lot to come, I know, for Mizzou and the SEC schedule, and with this product, Snack Fanatics, Mark Mitchell's Hoops, spicy queso flavored rings. So these are like little fried onion rings is the shape of them, but it's a unique spicy queso flavor, and they are really good. I'm going to be eating these during the break. Ken, where can people get them? Schnucks?
At all Schnucks statewide, all across Missouri, as well as, again, convenience stores on the old Vienna racks. But, again, just want to say shout out to Schnucks. They've been a great partner on these Mizzou items and continue to step up with this one. So go get them, and look forward to Tiger fans enjoying them and enjoying them throughout the season.
Fun. We got to talk some snacks and some hoops with Mark Mitchell. And thank you for doing this, Mark and Ken, for putting this together and coming on Sports on a Sunday morning. It's really been a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day, and thanks for doing this on a Sunday. We appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Thanks a ton, Tom. And
thank
Mark.
You. Mark Mitchell, the Missouri Tigers. Go grab a bag of these. I'll be saying, oh, you gave me two of them. All right. I'll take it. And some Burton chips as well. All right. I'm all over it. Our producer's Drew Young. I'm Tom Ackerman. We're going to give him this bag also because he works hard over there. He needs some of that to fire him up. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to get fired up. Wait till you hear this next guest. Jim Powers is instant energy, and he will be talking about Ohio State Notre Dame and the national championship 1 week from tomorrow. He also has received a major award from MSHA, the Missouri State High School Athletic Association has awarded Jim for his years of coverage and dedication to high school sports. By the way, a couple of huge St. Louis stars on that Notre Dame team that we're going to talk to Jimmy about next on KMOX. That was fun. I'm enjoying these Mark Mitchell Hoop Spicy Queso flavored rings. And I got a bag for you, Drew. My daughter Audrey's going to love these. This is like right up her alley. So we'll make sure she gets some of those before her big game today. She's got a basketball game today at 2 and 3. You gotta get those queso rings. It's 11:32. Normally, we talk to John Mozeliak at this time. Mo, you can hear on the next show. Countdown to opening day has some interesting things to say about the trade market for Nolan Arenado. So, Jim Powers, I wouldn't say you have big shoes to fill. You can slide right in there and bring it on KMOX. I know that. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and yeah, you know what? Big shoes, holy smokes. I'm just honored to be filling in these shoes here this morning.
It's great to have you on KMOX. You're no stranger to broadcast. You've done, hundreds, thousands of games in your career, calling basketball, football, and beyond. I've worked with you on college football. We did it for a number of years in the Missouri Valley Conference. You continue to follow that FCS football, which I really enjoy your coverage. You're on Twitter and have been for years at High School Sports Caravan, which you have done for Fox 2 and beyond for many years. Your high school coverage, before we talk about Notre Dame and Ohio State and the matchup on January 20th, which I know you're amped up for, I want to first congratulate you on an award you received from MSHA, the Missouri State High School Athletic Association, for your years of service to high school sports. Tell us about that honor and how you feel about it.
I received a letter back in late September. The name of the award is the Mal Mays Distinguished Service Award. And for those that don't know, Mal has been a longtime member of MSHA as their attorney, and he just does so many great things for our student athletes here in the state. And, you know, this award, I mean, there's many names that have received this award, and to have my name with them is just absolutely unbelievable. If somebody would have asked me 20 years ago when I moved here to St. Louis from Northeast Ohio, if I would have won something like this, I would have said, absolutely not. You've lost your mind. I just cover the kids. I cover the coaches. And, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean, when I first moved here, high school coverage wasn't that good. And now you look at how it's exploded over the last 20 years, the different outlets, the different venues. And, you know, I think that I've had a little bit of a part in helping amplify that high school coverage here in the St. Louis area and in the state of Missouri, which is, you know, very fulfilling to me because the kids deserve it. They work their tails off. The coaches work hard, the athletic directors. You know, it's just something that I felt we needed to kind of improve upon, and we've done such a terrific job with it. And now you see all the outlets doing stuff, and it makes it really, really good to see.
Well, it's great for not only the families who follow, but the schools who put so much, the officials that put so much, everybody, the volunteers. There are so many people involved in so many games on a daily basis throughout the St. Louis area that deserve that coverage, and you have provided that. There are others who do a really nice job in this area, but to have you awarded and honored is very special and very well-deserved. Before we talk about this matchup, Ohio State and Notre Dame, and Notre Dame featuring two high-level St. Louis products, let me ask you just overall, just concentrating on football now, the level of football, you know, we talk about St. Louis as a baseball town, a hockey town. We know its history in basketball with Jason Tatum currently and Bradley Beal leading the way when it comes to big names. But this is, make no mistake about it, a football town that gets raided by programs all over the country. Doesn't it, Jim?
Yeah, without a doubt. And we've seen this turn maybe over the last 10 years. to where, you know, back then, you know, St. Louis was a stop. It wasn't one of those high on the top, you know, spots, because there were some great kids. Now you look at where St. Louis is, it's must. You have to come here. If you're Ryan Day, if you're, you know, when Nick Saban was at Alabama, you know, if you're those guys, St. Louis is one of your first stops. And you see what Marcus Freeman has done in making inroads here to the St. Louis area. We have done such a great job, and I credit the coaches for this. The coaches have really embraced the fact that we've got great kids. We've got great student athletes, and they're getting them ready for the next level. They're getting them prepared. They're getting them fundamentally sound. They're doing all the right things, and that's what it's all about. If you get these kids and you put them in great positions, that's going to give them ultimate success at the next level. The one thing that I'm a little concerned about is how the transfer portal is kind of affecting high school recruiting a little bit, because a lot of coaches have come out and said they're going to hit the portal first before they hit the high schools. And so I'm hoping a balance can kind of be struck a little bit, because it's a shame that some of these high school kids that are having terrific careers and have done terrific things may not get to their college of choice initially. I think they'll eventually get there, but the transfer portal has kind of thrown a little bit of a monkey wrench into it.
That's an interesting perspective, Jim. You do see right now featured Ohio State, Notre Dame playing in the CFP National Championship on January 20th. Two big-time players that you just mentioned, Marcus Freeman, was able to get. One of them, running back Jeremiah Love out of CBC, and then right there with him making another big play, the interception that sealed the game, Christian Gray out of DeSmet. What two high-caliber players on that Irish team, two of many at the Division I level.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, a lot of people didn't think that Jeremiah was going to play on Thursday night because he got dinged up, you know, in the game previous. And so, you know, there was a little bit of doubt, but, you know, in some of the things that his teammates said was, hey, he's going to go. And if he goes, we got to make sure we do what we need to do. And you know, the job that he's done has been terrific. It's been a lot of fun to watch him. And that defensive play at the end, my gosh, you know, talk about just an incredible interception. We saw that when he played at the Smet. I mean, he is just such a dynamic player. And those are just a couple of the kids that have really done a great job. You look at Ryan Wingo for Texas, you know, and, you know, that big catch he made to get him a first down, had a nice rush. I mean, there is just a plethora of great high school kids that are doing fantastic things at the next level. And now it's going to be really cool to see Jeremiah and Gray play on the biggest stage in college football here on a week tomorrow.
And then you have the junior linebacker at North Dakota State, Logan Kopp, who had three sacks, three interceptions, a forced fumble on the year, and helped bring his team to the national championship. They beat Montana State. North Dakota State wins it all, so they're at every level.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, I have a chance to be down in Frisco for the FCS championship. I moderate all the press conferences. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to Logan. And it's so cool to see, you know, a local kid on that level and the way he's done things. He had a key interception in the South Dakota State semifinal that got them to where they needed to be. And then he had some big plays in the national championship game, you know, and he's had a terrific career and he's already enough. He's coming back to North Dakota State. He wants one more shot at it. And you look at North Dakota State and South Dakota State and what the Missouri Valley Football Conference has done, Tom. I mean, 12 of the last 14 FCS championships have come out of the Missouri Valley Football Conference. You don't see that. You just don't see that. And you're seeing a lot of the local kids that have an opportunity to play at the FCS level. Last year, Amir Johnson played for South Dakota State, won a national championship. Logan Kopp, this year, a young man from Lindbergh who's just terrific, he wins it. So it's really cool to see at every level our local kids doing a terrific job.
This is Jim Powers, who's been covering St. Louis high school football, basketball, and beyond for many, many years, joining us on KMOX. There was no bigger strip of a football scoop and score than Jack Sawyer, who took it away from Quinn Ewers and ran it the distance for Ohio State to give them their lead that they did not relinquish. They won against Texas. They advance to the national championship. Jim Powers from Northeast Ohio, how are you feeling when the Buckeyes walked away with that victory?
I think a lot of people heard a lot of yelling and screaming when Jack Sawyer had the play of his career, at the end of that game. Hey, Texas is a really good team. I was hoping, Ohio State would get out to a fast start. They got the touchdown, but I think that game flipped on its head when Travion Henderson got the screen pass and goes 75 yards with 20 seconds left in the first half. I think that's where that whole game kind of flipped a little bit, because instead of, a 7-7 tie going into halftime, now you're giving Ohio State all the momentum in the world leading into the halftime locker room, and then they get the ball to start the half. So, I think just the plays that Ohio State made, and talking to a real good friend of mine yesterday, Jack Sawyer is never going to pay for anything ever again in Columbus, after that play. And I know a lot of people are questioning, Sark's play calls, in that situation. But you got to remember, Ohio State's defense, how many times have we seen them with their backs against the goal line this year and have come up with stops and have stopped teams from getting into the end zone? And this was just another example of what the Ohio State defense has done. And I've said this since, the Buckeyes lost to the team up north, which I will still never say their name. I think that was the wake-up call. I think they have played angry. They know what's on the line. And they've been just playing some of the best football that I've seen an Ohio State team play in a long, long time.
Jim Powers, who's been covering high school sports here, the High School Sports Caravan, for many years, joining us on KMOX. And on the offensive side, Ohio State, Texas did a great job of taking away Jeremiah Smith. They really did.
Yeah.
They found a way to keep him out of the game. Do you see Notre Dame, and they've got a good secondary, Jim, can they do the same thing? Will they use that strategy?
And you know what, though? You look at the Ohio State receiving room. When you've got, Ibuka, you've got G. Scott, you've got Smith, then you can go to Carnell Tate, who stepped up in a big fashion. Texas took away Jeremiah. They were doubling him. They were bracketing him front and back, and that was opening things up for Carnell Tate. And so I think you've got to pick your poison. Do you let Jeremiah get after you and try and break some long stuff, or do you kind of double him once again and let everybody else try and beat you? That was the situation that Texas put Ohio State in. But with that receiving room, and I'll say this, the way Will Howard has played the last three games, he has not made very many mistakes. He has managed the game. He's putting them in great situations. And I tell you what, that 4th-and-2 run that he had, if he doesn't, trip over the 20-yard line, he's in the end zone. And I don't even think we're talking about the Jack Sawyer scoop and score. But that receiving room is terrific. Notre Dame's going to have their work cut out for them in trying to figure out who do you want to stop? Do you want to stop Smith? Do you want to stop Ibuka? Or do you want to let them try and do what they do? And if they let them do that, I think it could be just like we saw in the Oregon game when they just went absolutely nuts, getting the ball to the outside.
Well, it's going to be a tough task for sure for the Irish next Monday in Atlanta, the matchup against Ohio State. Jim Powers, congratulations on your award for Misha, and thank you for joining us on KMOX. Good luck to your Buckeyes on the 20th.
Thanks so much, my friend. By the way, I heard your pick, and I disagree with 100%. You should be taking the Buckeyes no matter what the spread is. That's all I'm saying.
I know you heard. I took Irish plus 9.5. Appreciate you, man. Jimmy Powers with us on KMOX. Great to hear his voice on the radio. We're going to take a break. The big dog, Bernie Mikkels, will get his picks coming up next at 11:45. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Smith swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We welcome in Bernie Mikkels, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Good morning, Bernie.
What do you know, Mr. Tom Ackerman?
What's up, man? I love talking to you on these Sundays. We're going to talk some baseball here in just a second. But first,
sure. Let
me get your picks for today. We've got Broncos at Bills, Packers at Eagles, and the Commanders at the Bucks. Who you got?
Well, I think the Bills are going to win, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. And I don't know if you want me to talk about it in context of the point spread, but the thing of it is Denver's defense is truly, truly, truly outstanding. And Sean Payton, even as a coach of the Broncos, has had a tremendous record against the spread when he takes his team on the road. And he's also had a really good record against good teams on the road. So to me, this sets up as where Buffalo's really going to have to fight for this. And the point spread 7.5. I sent my brother some information because he can wager legally in the state of Maryland. We're not quite there yet. We will be later this year. And I you know, told him the reasons why to take Denver in the point. So I won't go over all that, but I gave you the basics. As far as the second game, what's interesting to me is that Philadelphia is an obvious choice because Green Bay really, really, really stalled out late in the season. They were kind of a mess. However, they kind of did that last year, and they came into the playoffs and thrashed Dallas and then almost upset San Francisco. And I think people are overlooking them a little bit from the standpoint of, like, you know, this isn't going to be like a Steelers-Ravens game like last night. I think they're going to fight Philadelphia too. But I think Philadelphia wins. The one that intrigues me is really the Commanders at the Tampa Bay Bucs, because of you have Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, and there are some trend stuff. And let me just read you one thing. I apologize for the not having it up here. So Washington makes a lot of big plays through the air. And road teams that are averaging about 7.5 or more yards per pass attempt have been very, very good in the playoffs. 39-19-2, that's 67% since 2004. Plus, Daniels can run the ball. Also, this number 3 versus number 6 matchup has a history of upsets. Road teams are 14-8 straight up and 17-5, 77% against the spread. So I know you. I know you didn't sign on for having me trying to be Jimmy the Greek, but I just find this stuff really interesting. So I just wanted to pass that information along. I think the Commanders got a chance to win it outright.
I do too. I agree with you on that. I like those picks a lot. I think it's going to really be an interesting day, without question. Bernie Miklas is with us. Bernie, we do the Gas House Gang throughout the week. We talk Cardinal baseball most of the show. I have to admit, I'm going to raise my hand and admit to the camera here on YouTube that I have Arenado fatigue. I'm ready for this thing to be over. Now let's go. I mean, can we wrap this thing up? Is he a Cardinal or not? What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know what to say anymore, because I think, to all of our credit, not just we gentlemen in the Gas House Gang, but, you know, St. Louis media overall, including some bloggers that I really respect. I mean, we have sussed this thing out. We have laid it out. We have discussed every single variable. We have discussed all these different scenarios, you know, a million times collectively. And I don't know that there's really anything else to say because we've been through it over and over and over again. I think, Tom, it really does come down to this. And this is repeating, as you know, what we already know. It does come down to, you know, all right, what is going to happen if Alex Bregman sounds elsewhere? Do the Red Sox spring into action? I don't know. But at least that, what I would think, would increase the possibility. There's been talk about how there are other teams that are inquired to the Cardinals about Arenado. Normally, we wouldn't think anything of those teams because we think, well, he would never go there, but his agent's letting certain media people know that, he's got an open mind about some other places now. So are we talking Seattle? Are we talking Detroit? Are we talking Kansas City? I mean, I have no idea. Let me ask you, though, if I could, because I think what it comes down to is, like, what's your gut feeling? Will he be a Cardinal when this team gets ready to start the regular season or not?
My gut is that he will be elsewhere. I think they're going to find a way to deal him. And you know what? If he comes back as a Cardinal, I'd be fine with it, because I think that they would deal him at the deadline and they might get a better deal and he may have more options. But I think Boston, I think it's possible Detroit. That's what my gut says, but that percentage is dropping. I mean, I'm down to like 65-35, where I was at 90-10 not long ago. I mean, I really think that it's getting close. And if he does come back, Bernie, it's not the end of the world. I mean, I know that everybody who is ready for these prospects would say that it blocks Nolan Gorman. Not necessarily. I mean, you would have your anchor at third, and you'd have a bat in the middle of the order. He might not be playing for a World Series contender, but he might be in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. That's certainly a scenario. And the one thing that I go back to time, even though I say up front, again, it's unrealistic. But the Cardinals don't have to start Arenado, you know, 140 games or so at third base. They just don't have to. They're under no obligation to. So my point is if they would want to start him fewer times, maybe DH him here and there, they could still have a way to play, make sure Nolan Gorman gets pretty good amount of time at third base, also playing some second base and also DHing. But the reason I say it's unrealistic is because I think it would make it very awkward in the clubhouse. It would make it very awkward for Ollie Marmol. It would make it awkward for everybody. I mean, you look, it's not like Arenado has no value. He has value. He's just not what it used to be. But he's still a plus player, and he's still a really plus player defensively. And he still is technically slightly above average offensively. So it's not like this guy is like 100%, 75% liability. He can still help you win games. So in that context, it would be tough to put him on the bench a lot. Maybe a little more than you would, but it would be tough to do that. So I recognize that. But I'm just pointing out, you know, he's got the no-trade cause. He's got the no-trade card, and the Cardinals have the lineup card. You know, they're in charge of that, right?
That's right. They're also in charge of who's running the show. And in our final minute here, I'll read a tweet that someone sent me. When will Bloom be featured on Sports on a Sunday Morning? I think most fans are tired of the Mo love, need a perspective of the future. I appreciate the message. It's not Mo love. He's the president of the baseball operation. So he has the 11:30 slot and he answers questions. I can assure you that we have requested Heim Bloom, and we would hope to get the first radio interview when he's available.
Well, that's exactly right. And even in my experience, you're speaking from, the sports director of KMOX standpoint and how the station approaches things with regards to interview requests and things like that. And of course, you're all over it. And I would think his first interview would be with KMOX. But every time I do a video on YouTube, the Bernie Miklas show on YouTube, just a quick plug so you don't have to do it.
Yes.
Every time it seems like I get three or four comments. It's like, well, I don't understand why Bloom's not running everything now. Listen, it's okay to feel that way. But my point is we all get so many questions about this, and I'm not sure why, because the Cardinals made it perfectly clear how they were going to do 2025. And Heim Bloom wanted to do this because he thought the minor league rehabilitation was so massive of a project, it deserved his undivided attention. So I'm not sure why people are still grabbing onto this thing as if suddenly he's going to be running things like by May 20th or whatever. It's just not going to happen. So right. The reality may not be what we like, but it's time to accept the reality. It's not going to change. He will take over when this season is over, and he will be on KMOX at that point.
Bernie Miklas is on KMOX Sundays at 11:45. Thank you, pal.
We'll talk tomorrow on the Gas House Gang. Thank you, as always, my brother.
Yes, we will. Noon on the KMOX Sports YouTube page. The news is next.